Time for another analyst interview tonight, today, depending where you are. I'm sitting down with DMAC NBA Fantasy Bible. Good to chat to an Aussie. There's not many of us, so always nice to talk to a countryman. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. Another analyst interview. As I said, this time sitting down with an Aussie. 2 hours away from, well, 2 hours away. No, he's a lot more than that away from me, but 2 hour time difference. So we aren't geographically close within the country. We're actually on opposite sides of the country, but much easier than someone in the States who's half a world away. DMAC, how are you, mate?
Good, Kingy. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. We were just speaking off air. I'm a little sleep deprived and all out of whack because of these damn Olympics. getting up at stupid o'clock in the morning and then falling asleep at lunchtime. And yeah, it's been a long week. Back into work this week, so that's going to be interesting.
Great commitment. Great commitment by you.
Yeah, look, it's. I mean, I love the Olympics. I have since I was a kid. So I'm very looking forward to 8 years' time when they're here in Brisbane, heading up and catching as much as I can then. So that'll be good. No, sleep will be fine because we'll be on the right time zone then. So have you managed to catch much of it?
Bits and pieces. Just, as you said, time zone over in Paris is a little bit difficult to see, but we get a lot of highlights here. The Aussie's doing really well, particularly in the pool. And also we see a bit of Simone Biles. She's a bit of a fan favorite here in the household, just with two little daughters that do gymnastics. So, yeah, it's been good. Good viewing.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, she would be then. Yeah, she's a bit of a freak.
Absolutely.
Something that we rarely win any medals in the gymnastics. we tend to specialize in, swimming and then – falls off a cliff after that. Yeah, but we'll land a couple of random medals in weird events that we've never heard of. So anyway, off the Olympics, on to fantasy basketball. First question I always lead off with is your journey. So how did fantasy basketball come about? How did you get into playing fantasy basketball and then I guess transitioning that into, let's call it a career?
Yeah, put loosely a career, but probably didn't start too long ago, to be honest. Probably around 8 or 9 years ago, randomly a guy that I worked with said, look, I know you're into sport. Are you into basketball? Like, of course I'm into basketball, NBA basketball. Wanted me to join fantasy basketball. I had no idea what it was. I dabbled in fantasy football in terms of AFL football, but apart from that, had no idea what fantasy basketball was about. Had a lot of good resources. I know you came along a little bit later, but Dan Bespris, Josh Lloyd, a lot of these leading guys that were there all those years ago and just getting some knowledge and listening to podcasts and watching YouTube and then being able to interact with the likes of yourself even a little bit later just really spurred me on to get into this, I'll say, career loosely.
Mm. Yeah, and it, I mean, much like you, it was through Josh Lloyd and Dan Bespris and these guys that are sort of they weren't the original fantasy guys. Like you've got Dr. A and those guys that were sort of doing it well before. But I guess if we just look at it over the last 10 years or even sort of seven, eight years, I think it's really become we've been bombarded with new analysts and content and that sort of thing. And I mean, when I remember when I started playing fantasy and I found podcasts and I was listening to podcasts and I felt like I had a really good leg up on my opponents because none of them were doing research and hear about all these sleepers and that sort of thing. And nowadays, it's just so hard to find a sleeper because the word gets out so quickly. And unless you're drafting now, by the time we get to draft season in September, October, basically everyone knows who people are targeting and who we're sort of looking at as sleepers. So it's very hard to keep secrets anymore, which, yeah, look, I mean, it's you still and, I mean, that also depends on if you're in a league. I don't know how many leagues you're in, but I'm still in a couple of home leagues, so leagues that I was in when I started, still in those leagues. And I know there's a few guys in that or those leagues that do basically zero research. Their research starts the day before we draft,
yeah,
and turn up to the draft with some names written on a bit of paper. That's about it.
Yeah.
I turn my spreadsheets and everything going over the top. So it does depend who you're drafting against. But are you sort of, you sort of mentioned you started about 8 years ago. Are you still in that league?
I am still in that league, and it was a redraft league every single year, but we've transitioned into a keeper league, which is adding a little bit more zest and a bit more spice to it. It's very, very exciting. But to your point, very saturated with all these analysts. And I guess what I like to do, and because when I was learning and listening to some of these guys back in the day, I like to keep things really simple, provide the real basic knowledge, and someone who may just be starting. And sometimes I do cater a lot of my knowledge and information to those that are just beginning. So I understand what it was like back then. And so I'm trying to simplify some of it. And sometimes it's oversimplified, and that's okay. But it gives me a bit of pride and a bit of joy when I'm able to help people. And said at the end of the year, I was able to have some success, and a little bit because of us, which is a nice feeling.
Yeah, it is. It is. And yes, much like you, my league that I started in, which I took over as commissioner, oh, I want to say maybe 4 years ago, and I've slowly been implementing changes every year. Right? So I had all these ideas when I took over, and I didn't want to just bombard everyone and say I'm making all these changes. So I just do like one or two a year. So we're now... It was 11 cat when I started. We had double doubles and tech fouls. So I got rid of those. It's now, it was actually 7 category. Seven. So we went your 6 sort of points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, threes, and effective field goal percentage.
Right. I like that one.
As the 7th category, yeah. So
ours is still 11 category, and it hasn't changed after all these years. And so we do offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, okay, and personal fouls. And that hasn't changed after all this time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, look, I mean, I really it depends what the 11 categories are. For me, tech fouls were just ridiculous. I don't know why they were in there to begin with.
Just don't draft Draymond.
Yeah, that's okay, right. Don't draft Draymond and double doubles. You were a weird one as well. So it's now 7. We have three. So it's we just changed to auction draft last year, which everyone was a bit, I'm not sure. And they loved it, I thought they would, because we do. Our draft is in the same room, all of us, just at a friend's house. So it gets pretty vocal. A few beers are often consumed during the draft. So it gets loud, a lot of banter, a lot of heckling. So we did an auction draft last year, and you can keep up to 3 players every year. So, if you want to keep none, you can keep none. If you want to keep 3, you keep 3, but you keep them at the auction, the price you bought them for the year before plus $5. So,
right.
So for example,
so for example,
the guy who got Wemby last year, he auctioned him, or he got him in the auction draft for about $43 from memory. So in theory, I suppose, if we look at typical auction drafts and settings, your Jokic's, those guys, they normally go for around 70, 80 in a $200 league. So he can probably keep Wemby for like 5, 6, 7 years before he gets priced out. Like then he's just too much.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe he's not too much in 8 years. Maybe he's worth $100.
Probably still worth it. Probably still.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But no, it's we came into it the same way, and I guess I should have turned that phone off. So I guess, and I've interviewed Kayla, so I've done one of these with Kayla and spoke to her a little bit, but I'll talk to you about it as well. How did you and Kayla come about? Because you didn't know each other.
Didn't know each other. I approached her. I was just on Twitter. What a wonderful tool that is, or X, as it's now known. Just searching fantasy basketball, and I was really interested to see what some other new analysts, people that hadn't been exposed, I guess, in the mainstream, had to say. So I came across Kayla's account, and being having a female name didn't really have anything to do with it, but I noticed that she had articles, and I read these articles, and they were on point. Also then realized Kayla is a girl's name, and geez, that's quite different. There is no other girl that I'm aware of that does it. I think Kayla's now working with another, which is fantastic. But at the time, I thought, now this is something that I wanted to venture into in terms of my own, I guess, shows, YouTube shows and podcasting. Perhaps we could explore together. And it's turned out quite nicely, and we're going to continue that adventure this coming season.
Yeah, no, it has, and that's how I stumbled across it, and then met you and met Kayla and that sort of thing. And that happens a lot in this space, in the fantasy basketball space. You get to know people and they reach out, and everyone's very forthcoming with wanting to share information and get you on their shows and that sort of thing. So I really like that about working in the fantasy basketball area. So much like me and I would say most of the guests I've had on this show, fantasy basketball, unfortunately, is not your full-time career.
It's not.
So I've spoken with a couple of guys who it is, and more so guys that work in just sports media, so NBA, not necessarily fantasy. But outside of fantasy, when you're not doing it, what are you doing to make a living and to enable you to do this as a hobby that's gone way too far?
Yeah, gone way too far is a good way to put it. But number one, first and foremost, I'm a dad. So I've got two young daughters, and I know I've been on a couple of your shows, and one of my daughters has popped up every now and then. So she's a great contributor to the show. But that's my first and foremost job. And actually, I did that for a year. I was a stay-at-home dad, which was challenging, but very, very rewarding. But my day job, I'm head of quality assurance for a regenerative medicine company here in Western Australia. Sounds boring, but also very, very rewarding. Been doing that for quite some time. I've worked in pharmaceuticals, now medical devices, but pharmaceuticals probably for about 15 years. And I worked for a little old company that's very famous for a COVID vaccine and also a little blue pill. So I think you know who that is, but I worked for them for a few years as well.
Yep.
You may not realize what the little blue pill is, Kinney. You don't really need that, but anyway, so I've been doing that for many years, and still loving it, still getting a lot of satisfaction out of it. And I think the biggest part of that now is less more about learning about the industry, but more about helping teams and helping my own team, but also other teams, and I get a lot of satisfaction out of that. But that's where we're at in terms of my day job, and loving it. But it is good. It's very flexible. I'm able to do a lot of this outside of hours, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and Josh Lloyd, but anyone that doesn't know, I mean, I spoke to him beginning of last year, but he was a pharmacist as well before jumping ship and sort of coming over to fantasy basketball full-time. So you mentioned family, two kids, and that's sort of your priority, as it is with a lot of us. What does a sort of a day look like for you, family? Like, do the kids play sport? I know they play gymnastics they do gymnastics because we spoke about that. But what are they into basketball at all? Is this a passion that you share with anyone in your house, or it's completely you alone?
It's just me, absolutely just by myself. There is no interest from my girls, and I'm outnumbered. Outdaughtered, plus my wife as well. She has no interest in what I do, but she's very supportive, but won't hop on. And watch the YouTube or listen to the podcast. Well, that's all good. But the girls are into netball as well. So gymnastics and netball, which is massive in Australia and Commonwealth nations, not so much in the States, but loving that at the moment as well. So that's a lot of our day on a Saturday, completely overrun by netball and netball duties and play dates and those types of things, real typical dad stuff. I'll try to fit in fantasy around that as well.
Yeah, that's what we have to do, isn't it? So family with the kids, basketball, work, any other hobbies? So do you actually have any time to do anything else that you enjoy, or it's or life is sort of wrapped up in family, work, fantasy?
It's the latter, but I am trying to get a little bit fitter. I'm approaching a milestone birthday this year, Kingy, and need to start looking after the waistline. I'm sort of letting myself go from my 20s, coming up to, I'd like to say I'm coming up to my 30th, but I'm coming up to my 40th this year. So getting back into the gym. So that's a bit of a focus for me coming into this year and moving forward. I'm feeling the aches and pains a lot more than I ever used to. So I need to be wary of that. And, you know, it's also nice to look good as well. Got to maintain yourself for the missus.
That's right. I was having this discussion with, I want to say it was guys on my basketball team, but we were talking about injuries and niggles and things like that. And, you know, you're sort of getting old when these injuries just become normal. Like it's not, I'm not injured. This just hurts now. It's part of getting older. And look, much like you, so I just had my 45th, and part of that is going, well, not essential, but I went to the doctor and sort of got a full blood work and health checkup and that sort of thing, and had to do a bowel cancer screening the other day, which was not a fun experience, but hey, it's worth it for 30 seconds of diving into something you don't really want to dive into. But
a bit of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, a very big pain in the ass. But part of that, again, much like you, was the doctor said you could lose a couple of kilos. So I sort of took that on board, and I'm not a gym person. I just find it hard to go to the gym and get motivated to do it regularly. Like I could go for a week and then
it's boring. Let's be honest. It's really boring. And I used to love playing a lot of sport, and it was the games. You absolutely enjoy it. You get your exercise and you get your teamwork, and it was fantastic. But long gone are those days.
Yeah. And so basketball for me has always been that pathway to fitness. And to me, I don't think of it as exercise. I just think of it as going and running around with my mates. But even that, I've sort of lost a little bit of the passion there of playing. And I'm thinking next year it's looking like I'm going to be playing with some guys from high school. So that'll be very cool. Guys I haven't played with for 20 years, 25 years. So my wife is away at the moment. So I'm here very solo dadding it. And so I thought, well, we've got a rowing machine. We've got a cross trainer. We've got some basic weights downstairs. So I'm making a point of, she's away for 6 weeks. Every day I'm down there for half an hour to 45 minutes. And my goal is to, when I'm walking up the stairs, when I'm finished, I want to be sweating because then I know I've done something. And we're a week in, and so far I'm 7 from 7. I've been down every day. So,
Good job.
Yeah. So I don't know what the outcome will be, but I don't know. I figure it's got to be doing more harm than more good than harm.
She may not recognize you when she comes back.
Well,
six
no,
pack.
She will, because I'm still got chocolate in the cupboard and beers and stuff. So it's I'm not planning on any major changes, but anything is good.
That's my weakness as well, Kingy, the beers, and that's become a fairly new weakness. It never used to be just sitting around having a beer on random nights, but now it is.
And for anyone that knows where you live, and I do know where you live, there are a lot of good beers there.
A lot of good beers, yeah. So here in WA, close to Fremantle, a lot of great beers in this direction.
Yeah, so as I said, we are very geographically, we're quite far apart. I'm on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast, and I actually lived in Perth for about a year in my, mid-20s? So it was about 20 years ago when I was there. And I was single. My work paid for me to stay in this pretty awesome apartment right in the middle of the city. So I went to Fremantle quite a lot on the train and found Little Creatures Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
And, I spent a lot of time. And we're headed over there again in 5-6 weeks when my wife is done, and hoping that the brewery is still there. I'm assuming it
absolutely is.
And I will be venturing out there again. So
fantastic.
So now is the time to do that work and do some exercise, because it won't be happening when I'm over there. So I guess a couple of things that interest me, which may interest you, they may not. We'll start with, what do we want to start with? We're talking about health. Let's talk about food. Any favorite foods? And is it, if you think of a favorite food or something that you really enjoy, is it something from your childhood or something that you've sort of grown to like as you've gotten older?
It's interesting. I am just a lover of all food. I'm a savory sort of guy, but I will still have my sweets. But something that sticks with me, I don't get all that often anymore. Obviously, I'm not living at home with mum, but I've come from a Filipino heritage. So I love the Filipino cuisine. It's a bit of it's an acquired taste for some, but it's something that I love. And every time I'll have some Filipino stuff, we've got some Filipinos at my work, we'll have International Food Day, and I'll get that into me. And I'm like, damn, that is nice. It takes me back and reminds me of those Filipino parties as a kid. And at the time, you probably didn't really enjoy them, but you look back on, they were the days. That was just the bomb, just all the food. And it was a lot of joy back then. But Filipino heritage, still appreciate that.
Yeah, so interesting. So I've got a few of my mates now that I actually started that fantasy league with are Filipino. And through them, they actually, because I think we were out one night having dinner or something, and they suggested a couple of places that I should go and eat. And they suggested one place in Canberra where I am, and it was a Filipino restaurant. And my wife and I had never had Filipino food. So we went there, and it basically, from the moment we sort of started eating, it became our regular. We were basically there once a month. And unfortunately, it closed. And the one, I can't remember the names of everything, of all the meals, but there was one that I had a lot of, and it was I want to say it was a beef in like a peanut sauce. I can't think.
Beef in a peanut.
I can't think what it was called. Anyway, it was probably the best food I've ever eaten in my life. Right. And now I can't find it anywhere here in Canberra, which was a shame. But I don't know. It was never busy when we were there. I guess maybe it was as I said, we'd never had it. It was only because I knew some guys who were Filipino that they introduced me to the food. So Canberra's a pretty multicultural place, so there's a lot of cuisines, a lot of restaurants, and I could understand why somewhere might have to close if you're not making your money. There's so much competition, so that was absolutely unfortunate.
Actually, I did take the kids. We went on a holiday, and I think we'll get to that shortly, but we went on holiday to Kuala Lumpur, and randomly there was a Jollibee, and that's a very big Filipino, I guess it's a KFC equivalent, but in Filipino style, which is awesome, and the kids loved it, which is good. They don't like the traditional Filipino food, of course, but fried chicken, who doesn't love that? But that was also a throwback too.
And so on to holidays. I know that you travel a little bit, and you've got a few things coming up, and so it's something that you obviously enjoy doing. Any favorite locations, whether it's something you've done with your family or something you did prior to having kids?
Yeah, I got a real love and passion for traveling, and I share that with my wife, and we've always said, look, you only live once, and there's no point taking all that money and not using it. And I've tried to convey that to my mum. She's got all this savings. I'm like, you got to go travel. You just have to see the world. Yeah. It's just critically important, and I'm trying to teach my kids around that as well. But being in Western Australia, we're quite fortunate that we're quite close to Southeast Asia. So that's always a nice quick quick getaway. I've run out of annual leave, which is unfortunate. So we're trying to time it. We've got a couple of trips to Bali. We've got another trip to Singapore. So that's for our 40th. So my wife and I will go across together, leave the kids at home. So shout out to grandma and grandpa, the in-law. So that's nice and helpful. Yep. So we'll go across there. We've got a trip to Vietnam next year. But it's been a while since my wife and I did Europe. And with the Olympics going on at the moment in Paris, it takes us back, and very cliche, but that's where I proposed to my wife probably about 10 years ago, but we'd like to get back there at some stage.
Yeah, no, Europe is nice. Yeah, my wife's actually in the process of planning our 50th, which is, I don't even want to think about it, but she said that it gives her something exciting to think about. So she's actually planning that, and we're heading to Finland, Norway, Sweden, so that area, which we've never been to. So that should be good. And yeah, look, much like you, I mean, we're sort of, my wife's probably, like, when it comes to money, she's cautious, and she goes through ups and downs of do we buy an investment property, or do we go on a big holiday, or do we just put it all into the mortgage? It's up and down. So I just go with the flow. So I just support her with whatever sort of frame of mind she's in. But
that's just like me, but I support my wife in her planning of holidays. She always has to have something on the horizon, and I love her for it, because it just keeps us motivated. It keeps us on track. We do count down the days to the next trip, but it just keeps us going.
Yeah, and we're sort of like that now. Like, let's travel. We can travel. The kids are at a good age. We're still healthy, fit, young enough to be able to go and do things when we're overseas. So we've been doing a little bit of traveling and got a couple of things booked in as well. So I'm with you there on the travel. And then rounding out with movies and TV shows. So two of my favorite pastimes, watching TV shows and movies. First of all, is that something you enjoy, and again, by yourself or with your wife?
Less so with the movies these days. Used to be a massive movie buff, but I guess time is of the essence. When you have kids, it's difficult to get away, and even if you're just sneaking away into the TV room trying to watch an entire movie without interruption is quite difficult. But we'll go back. I think my favorite movie was a bit cliched with Shawshank Redemption, but I always loved Forrest Gump. I thought... Tom Hanks did a great performance there. And a little bit more recent, The Dark Knight, Heath Ledger, our boy Heath Ledger. I think he did a great job there. And even maybe a bit cheesy, but I loved it. The Matrix, the original number one.
Yeah.
And something a little bit stupid, and you may judge me for this, but I thought it was hilarious, dumb, but it was Borat. I'm just throwing it out there. I just thought that was just the bee's knees and the Ali G show, and I thought that was fantastic. So don't judge me too hard on that. Just something a little bit lighthearted.
No, look, I won't judge you. Actually, speaking of honeymoons and Borat, the two tie in together for me. So my wife and I, we had our honeymoon in 2006, end of 2006, start of 2007. And we were in, where was it? I want to say we're in Italy somewhere. Anyway, she was pregnant at the time, so we weren't able to do as much as we probably would have if she was as mobile and not as hormonal and emotional and that sort of thing. So we actually went and saw a few movies when we were overseas, just as a way of the end of the day, just go and sit, watch a movie together. And I'd seen Borat, and we were walking past the cinema, and I said, oh, let's go and see Borat. It's funny. And she had no idea what Borat was about. She'd never seen Ali G or bought the Borat show, any of that stuff. So I said, no, it's really funny. And I knew exactly what her reaction was going to be, but I didn't tell her that. And we got the tickets, we went in, and anyone that's seen Borat knows there's a pretty confronting scene with Borat and another gentleman, and they get their clothes off, and it's pretty confronting if you're not ready for it. And she was not ready for it, and she still brings it up to that day, because I have Borat on DVD, and we're sort of waiting for my son, because I think he'll love it. because it is stupid. It is so stupid. And we're waiting for him to be old enough. He's only 14, so probably not quite old enough, but it's sitting
almost
there. And,
almost
yeah,
there.
So
let me ask you, Kingy, is that DVD set the one with the Mankini? And if so, have you worn it?
It is not the one with the Mankini. And if it was, no, I would not have worn it. I do have friends that have worn a Mankini, and it's not a look that I'm going for. So
it's not the look.
It's not the look. So no, I won't judge you for Borat because I have seen it and I own it and I own the second one. So it's a movie you don't have to think too much about. So
no, very easy. Which is perfect for me. I'm not much of a thinker, but it's probably the only time that I've been in a cinema and the entire audience, except for one gentleman next to me, were up in laughter, and that was quite the experience. Not sure what old mate next to me was doing though.
Yeah, maybe he shouldn't have been there. Maybe his wife had dragged him along and hadn't told him what Borat was about.
Possibly.
Who knows? TV shows. So not much time for movies. So favorite TV shows?
One of yours actually. Seinfeld buff. Huge Seinfeld buff going way back, but I haven't watched in a long, long time. Similar boat. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David, fantastic. At the moment, it's actually House of the Dragon. So both my wife and I were huge Game of Thrones fans. So House of the Dragon at the moment. So we did have a mini marathon last night. We got through about 4 episodes, which is quite the effort for us.
We tend to
like to go to sleep fairly early. So we're up till 11, and that's late for us. We're up till 11 watching House of the Dragon. But, yeah, get around that. So they're probably the top ones. Breaking Bad, of course, is up there as well.
Breaking Bad for me, very good. Seinfeld, yes. I mean, most anyone that follows me, I often put Seinfeld memes and things up on. And that is one thing that I have got my son into is Seinfeld. He's actually watching it now while I do this show. So I'm always happy to put that on for him. I guess one thing from the last week is that I have been able to catch up on some movies because I've been home and just basically spending the day in bed once I get the kids to school. One movie that I watched again, which I hadn't seen for a long time, and only people that are into horror would probably have seen The Blair Witch Project. And it was it came out in the late 90s. The original one.
Maybe even 2000, something around.
Which project?
Around 2000.
1999. So,
well, there you go.
Okay, so there you go, very late 90s. So, and still hands down the best movie experience I've had in terms of going to the movies. So there was a cinema in Canberra. I forget what it was called, but it wasn't a Hoyts. It wasn't Dendy. It wasn't Greater Union. So it wasn't a big big sort of brand name with multiple cinemas. It was just an independent cinema in the city. And to get to the cinema, it was basically underground. So you had to, it was under another building. You had to go underground. There was one cinema. And so we went and saw the Blair Witch Project, and it was the premiere screening of it. It was at midnight, and it was before, so I mean, you were around then as well, in 1999. The internet was around, but it wasn't around. It wasn't like it was on your phone and you pick your phone up and you get spoilers, that sort of thing. So a lot of the people that were at that screening, because if you remember back, I don't know if you do remember, but Blair Witch was marketed as a documentary kind of thing, like a real life.
Remember the advertising, the found footage, and I came out of there thinking, geez, that is freaky if true. It took some time for us to all catch on.
Yeah, so we had caught on, my friends, and I think that was because we were in the horror space, we have been for years and years. And so we knew that it was a movie and not a horror thing, but a lot of people in that cinema didn't. They thought this is real footage that they've put together to make a movie. And some of the screams in that cinema were blood-curdling and people leaving the cinema. You read those articles, and they're often embellished by Unilad and all these other sites that talk about, oh, people watched this movie and they had to throw up, but it was one person. It's always made out to sound like this movie is the scariest thing of all time when it's really not. But this experience we had watching Blair Witch, I still remember it vividly, people having running out of the cinema and crying and that sort of thing. And it was, you can't get that anymore because of the internet. Anyway, I don't know, that was pretty off topic, but I just remember.
Yeah, not too dissimilar to my experience with Borat, but crying for a different reason.
Yeah, very different reason. Yeah, yeah. My wife was probably crying, but for a different reason as well. So, no, look, I think I've kept you long enough for a Sunday evening. So, thanks for jumping on. I will tell people we did a show last week, so you did sort of mention what you've got coming up, but this will be coming out in probably mid-September. So by the time it comes out, we're only a month out from the NBA season. What's on the horizon for you and Kayla for this season? You mentioned that the show will continue, and I think you're sort of broadening your horizons a little bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Between Two Hoops with Kayla and myself, so that'll continue at least the weekly show, and we're looking to actually expand that to possibly doing some more frequent shows as well throughout the week. I'm also looking at working with a few newer analysts or less seen analysts as well. So that'll be exciting. And a couple of other ideas that I've been toiling with for the last year, but I would love to just try something different. And as I said, I want to simplify things, but also bring it back to the people and see what and how their involvement can happen as well. We'll see what we can do there.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. Should be another good season. Thanks again for jumping on and
pleasure
getting me in on a Sunday evening, and
thank you for having me. Kids
there in the background somewhere doing something. So thank them thank them for staying quiet. Not that it matters. I mean, we love kids running through our screens, don't we? It's part of being a dad. That will do for this episode. I'll be back again. I think we've got two more after this, so be back with another episode very soon. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.